भगवते वासुदेवाय
Lord Rishabhdev performed all kinds of sacrifices 100 times according to the instructions of the Vedic literatures. Thus he satisfied Lord Vishnu in every respect. All the rituals were enriched by first-class ingredients. They were executed in holy places according to the proper time by priests who were all young and faithful. In this way, Lord Vishnu was worshipped, and the prasad was offered to all the demigods. Thus the functions and festivals were all successful. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is said, Kumara acharit pragyo dharaman bhagavatan iha. A ritual should be performed by young men, even boys, at a tender age in order for the ritual to be performed successfully. From childhood, people should be trained in Vedic culture, especially in devotional service. In this way, one can perfect one's life. A Vaishnav does not disrespect the demigods. But on the other hand, he is not so foolish that he accepts each and every demigod as the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is master of all demigods. Therefore, the demigods are his servants. The Vaishnav accepts them as the servants of the Supreme Lord, and he worships them directly. In the Brahma Samhita, the important demigods, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and even the incarnations and expansions of Lord Krishna, like Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshay Vishnu, and all other Vishnu tattvas, as well as the Shakti tattvas like Durga Devi, are all worshipped by the process of worshipping Govinda with the words, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. A Vaishnav worships the demigods in relation to Govinda, not independently. Vaishnavas are not so foolish that they consider the demigods independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ekale Ishwara Krishna, Arsa Bhritya. The Supreme Master is Krishna, and all others are His servants. Lord Rishabhdev, who is an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, accepted role of king for the welfare of his citizens of the world. Yad yad acharati strestas tad tad evetado jana sayat pramanam kurute lokas tad anubharatite. What great people do, the common people naturally follow. Whatever standards they set by their exemplary acts, the world will pursue. The example of leaders is critical for spiritual culture to be in order. Although Rishabhdev is avatar of the Lord, in the role of a king, he was showing people how to worship the Lord according to time, place, and circumstance. Even Krishna, even Ramchandra, such prominent avatars. When Krishna was living in Dwarka, when Ram was in Ayodhya, Rameshwaram, they showed by their example. They would worship the Brahmins. They would serve the cows, protect them. Even Ramchandra, when he killed Ravana, on the advice of Brahmins, he even performed puja to Lord Shiva in Rameshwaram, just to show this example of the culture of respect, because Ravana was a devotee of Shiva, and he was also a Brahmin. Although he was a horrible demon, still Ram offered proper etiquette. He did what was needful, but at the same time he did it in such a way to show the example of respect. Respect for the decision of qualified Brahmins. Respect for the relationship between a demigod and his devotee. Herein we find Rishabhdev performs 100 sacrifices. And how did he perform the sacrifices? This is a great example. He did it according to the Vedic instructions. Actually, today, so many of the pujas that are performed are not really at all according to Vedic instructions. Oftentimes they're according to perverted traditions. People are slaughtering animals to demigods, just taking some little part of a Vedic instruction, but not without proper parampara or guru, they do not understand the whole thing. To offer an animal to Kali, it has to only be on the dark moon night, and the mantra you chant in their ear has to be because you are, I am killing you, in your next life you will have the chance to kill me. How many are doing that? They just slaughter, slaughter, slaughter. Not according to Vedic injunctions. In fact, that is one of the reasons that the Supreme Lord appeared as Lord Buddha. Because people were taking, especially Brahmins, who are supposed to be leading by their example, the whole society by their simplicity and their knowledge and their compassion. They would take just one little part of the Vedic literatures and take it out of context of the whole picture and teach it according to their own subjective views, oftentimes their own egoistic desires. That is a problem that is plaguing the whole world. People of religion, various religions, they just take particular passages out of their scriptures, out of context of the spirit of what the scripture is trying to teach us. And instead of the result bringing love, compassion, and tolerance, people become excessively sensual, hateful, bigoted, violent. There is violence in scripture. But it is not that we can take it out of context and be violent according to our own whims. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. Krishna was violent to demons. But how he was, and what was the spirit, and what was the result? So yes, people all over the world are becoming agnostics an atheist. Because of the way ill-motivated, ignorant people in the name of priests and Brahmins and mullahs are taking the words of scriptures and using them out of context of the spirit of the purpose of the scripture. For profession or for their egos, and it creates chaos. So Lord Rishabhdev, he performed his sacrifices exactly according to the scriptures. According to the word of the scripture as well as the spirit of the scripture. He was very learned in the Shastras. And he had pure-hearted, learned Brahmins who were also giving him guidance and instructions. And out of respect for the sadhus, he humbled himself in that way. And as a result of performing his yajnas in the proper consciousness, with the proper ritual, with the proper means, he satisfied Vishnu in every respect. That is the only purpose. Yajyaratat kamanon yatra lokomam karma bandhana. Whatever we do should be a sacrifice for the pleasure of Krishna. In the beginning of creation, the Lord sent forth generations of men, humans, and demigods. And also the process of sacrifice to Vishnu. And then he told the whole world, the whole creation, be happy with this sacrifice, for it shall bestow upon you all things that are desired. The very beginning of creation, this was established. When the Lord created all living entities, he also gave to them the process of sacrifice to Vishnu. And told him, be happy by this sacrifice. That's the only way we can find real happiness, is through the process of sacrifice. And what is sacrifice? To please the Lord. Samsidhir Hari Toshanam. Actual sacrifice means to act, to speak, to live in such a way that Krishna is satisfied. When you water the root of the tree, the whole tree is satisfied. If you want to be happy, the only way to find real happiness is to make Krishna happy. Being part and parcel of Krishna, if we make Krishna happy, we become happy. And there's no other way. Everything else is illusory. All other processes of trying to be happy, if we're not making Krishna happy, is like trying to find nourishment and satisfaction in food by pushing it into the mirror reflection of ourselves. Yes. It's like if you do Nirjal Ekadasi, and you're really thirsty. And the next morning you stand in front of a mirror, and what do you see in the mirror? It looks like you. And you pour water in the mouth of the mirror. And you even open your mouth, and you pour it. Will you be satisfied? And if someone starts putting rotis and bananas in the mirror image, you will not be satisfied. But yet the whole world is illusioned by this principle. We're trying to find happiness by satisfying a perverted reflection in illusion. Maya means that which is not. The spirit soul exists eternally. And the body is existing temporarily. The soul is real. The body is real. What is the illusion? When the soul thinks it is this body, that is an illusion. And we're trying to find happiness on the physical and mental and egoistic platform. And to the degree people try to pursue this line of life, the whole society becomes degraded. And so much frustration, suffering, and anxiety. Scientifically, technologically, economically, there are so many improvements in the world today. Even just my father and the fathers and mothers of all of my God brothers and God sisters. When they were children, there was not even such thing as television. There was no such thing as a direct connection on a telephone. You had to just wind a crank and get the operator, and she would have to connect you to your line with great difficulty. There was airplanes. Nobody flew on airplanes. They were just invented and started to be used for wars. It was a different world technologically. There was no computers. The biggest entertainment for a family was to sit around a radio. Yes? How many people do that today? The whole family just sits around a radio. And there were only a few stations. So look at the advancement and progress in technology, science, and modern living today. But yet the amount of anxiety, depression, and mental illness has multiplied enormously. And it's still multiplying. So much anxiety, so much suicide, so much frustration. So much depression. Because the more you have with the hope that you'll be, that you could make yourself satisfied, the more frustrated you become. In fact, people who have power, people who have prestige, it's a frustrating situation because you could never get enough. And you never actually get what you want or you need. So always fear of losing what you have. Always envy and competitiveness with others. And ultimately the heart is empty, shallow. The only happiness the soul can ever achieve is the happiness of giving happiness to Krishna. Because we're part and parcel of Krishna. Sarva karana karanam. He's the cause of all causes. He's the root of all existence. Everything is emanating from Him. As part and parcel, if Krishna is pleased, our soul finds pleasure. There's no other way. Bhagavatam describes you could water every single part of the tree thoroughly, but if you forget the root, the tree will wither and die. If we forget Krishna, there's no hope. And people blame God for the problems of this world. But at the very beginning of creation, God says, be happy by this sacrifice. Be happy by serving and pleasing Vishnu. And since time immemorial, the Lord has come again and again and again and again in various avatars, prophets, sends his sons, sends his servants, sends his intimate associates from the spiritual world, comes directly in his own personal form, just to remind us of this simple principle that he established at the very beginning of creation. But yet humanity creates so many philosophies, so many cultural and social concepts to defy that idea. Commercialism everywhere. Be happy by buying this. Be happy by having this. Be happy by being this. To look this way. To wear this way. To eat this way. To look this way. To hear this way. To touch this way. Bombardment. 24 hours a day throughout the entire atmosphere. It's just surcharged with this promotion that you will be happy through gross and subtle sense gratification. And it's so powerful. Maya is so strong. Prabhupada comes to the West, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. People were shocked. What? What will we do? You'll chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So simple. So simple for the simple. But it's so difficult and complex for people to understand. And today there are so many people who pose themselves as spiritual leaders, who teach people, doesn't matter what you do. Just do this mantra, or just do this meditation, or do these exercises, and you'll be peaceful. Yes, you may find a little more peace, if that's all you want. But how long will that peace last? And what substance will that peace really have? Nothing to your soul. These processes can give a little peace to your mind, temporarily. But to awaken the ecstatic bliss of the soul, Tani Sarvani Samyamya Yukta Asita Matpara. We have to restrain our senses away from those illusions. And simultaneously, we have to fix our consciousness on Krishna. We have to be busy for Krishna through devotional service. So this is what Rishabhdev did. By his example, he performed yajnas exactly according to the instructions of Vedas, not just concoctions, not just sentiments, but according to the scriptures. And he did it according to the spirit of the purpose of the scriptures, which is to make Krishna happy, to satisfy Krishna, and thus to be happy. All the rituals were enriched by first-class ingredients. Now today, some people, they do these yajnas and everything, but they do it for some professional purpose, a ritualistic purpose. But actually, the very basis of the yajna is that Vishnu is appearing in the form of the fire. And all of our mantras and our whole attitude and whatever we're offering is for his pleasure. So if you actually have this faith that every aspect of the yajna is for the satisfaction of Vishnu, then you will take great efforts to make sure you have first-class ingredients. It's not just a vain ritual. It's not just any seeds. If you understand you're going to be offering this to the Lord, if you have a sense of devotion, then you'll get the best seeds. You'll get pure ghee. All the ingredients involved will be as first class as possible. Because it's not just a show. If you do it for a show, the result will be you will get the credit of putting on a good show. And that's about all. If you really do it because you have faith that Vishnu is here, Some people do yajnas and they don't even believe in God. Hare Krishna. They don't even believe in God. They don't believe God eats. One person from a society that they do yajnas all the time. They told Prabhupada, why are you offering Krishna food? Krishna doesn't eat. What is this prasad? Prabhupada said, Krishna says he eats. Should I believe Krishna or a nonsense like you? So they're doing yajna, but they don't even believe that Krishna eats. So who are they offering it to? What are they offering it to? It's not done in a spirit of devotion. It's just if you do everything right, then you'll attract positive energies and become enlightened. But this is not at all what yajna is about. And actually, everything a devotee does is a yajna. Everything we do, yakaroshi yadashyasti. Krishna says, all that you do should be done as an offering to me. That is why Rupa Goswami declares that one must be very, very conscientious, even in one's most ordinary activities, to do it in a very, very sincere consciousness to please Krishna. Patram pushpam palam toyam. Even if you offer a leaf of flower or water to Krishna with devotion, he will accept. But what is devotion? Devotion doesn't mean, here's a leaf, Krishna. Devotion means, you'll get the best leaf that you can get for Krishna, because it's for Krishna. Whatever you do, you'll do it the best possible way for Krishna. You'll get the best ingredients that are reasonable to afford for Krishna. Recently, we performed Pushyabhishek. And one nice devotee donated for 1,100 kilos of flowers. That's over 2,000 pounds of flowers. And somebody may say, why are you off so many flowers for Krishna? Why don't you do something for society with this money? What Krishna tells in Gita, what is that verse? Anad bhavanti bhutani parajanyan anasambhava. That men subsist by food grains. Food grains are born of rains. Rains are born of sacrifice, and sacrifice is born from satisfying Vishnu. That's what sacrifice is about. The whole society is just running around like passionate, mad people, just trying to solve the problems of the world by just putting water on the leaves and the twigs and the branches. And here we are, watering the root of the tree of the entire creation. Not watering, flowering. We're putting water in the form of devotion, in the form, Krishna says, offer me a flower and I'm satisfied. Now, this world is in such a mess. If we want to do something wonderful for the world, why not offer Krishna tons of flowers to make him satisfied? It's actually the greatest welfare work for all humanity to try to please Krishna. Krishna says, just perform this yajna of satisfying me and everything will be provided in abundance for everyone, including happiness, meaning to life. And the Pushyabhishek was not just performed as an offering to Krishna in a solitary place, but Prabhupada has created a wonderful preaching movement where thousands and thousands of thousands of people came and participated in this offering for the satisfaction of Krishna. By offering their hearts affection, appreciation, by rejoicing to seeing Krishna being worshipped, and by loudly chanting the holy names. So yes, all rituals were enriched by first-class ingredients. Prabhupada wanted anything devotees did should be as first-class as possible. Sanatana Goswami, he was feeding Madan Mohan just that bhati, yes, just some very coarse ground wheat flour that he would beg from Brijabasis. He would mix it with Yamuna water and make it into a ball and put it right into fire. That's all he had. He was living under trees. He didn't have a pantry or a kitchen. He was living under trees, begging. People don't give beggars the best things they have. Very simple. But yet when he offered it to him, it was first-class ingredients. It was the best thing he had. He was giving to Madan Mohan. So first-class ingredients doesn't mean necessarily that you have to. It means the best you have. The best you can get. You offer it to Krishna for his satisfaction. And the next line is very important, and Prabhupada comments on this in his purport, that the yajñas were executed in holy places according to the proper time by priests who were all young and faithful. This means Rishabdev went through great efforts to make sure everything was optimum for Krishna's pleasure. He performed his yajna at the most auspicious times, in the most auspicious places, and he had priests who had very pure hearts and who were very faithful. That's important. Because the priest is making the offerings on behalf of everyone else. Yes? It's very important. Therefore, the priest should have a very pure heart. In fact, Srila Prabhupada explains in the Vedic culture, young children, young boys were trained as priests. Before they attained that age of passion and vast egotism, they were trained to love God. Komara acharit pragyo dharman bhagavataniha. Prahlad Maharaj told 5-year-old friends, now is the time. Prabhupada emphasizes how children must be trained from the very beginning of their lives how to be humble servants of the Lord, how to be satisfied, how to be satisfied with pleasing Krishna. Materialistic society is parents teach their children how to be satisfied in a culture of just accumulating more and more and more possessions for your own satisfaction. Recently I went to one house and there was a massive basement and it had thousands of games and toys, some of them very, very costly. For one child. Must be bewildering. How many toys can you play with? When I was young, you know, we'd get one little ball and we'd play with that ball for a year or 2 years, and that was fun. And even that was sense gratification. But you have all these computerized games and machine games and so many things. How can a child be happy? If anything they want, they just get. They possess. This is mine. Just accelerating this concept of janasya mohoya mahamma meti. This is mine. This is mine. This is mine. This is mine. This is mine.
And if there's other children, as they grow up, they're all going to be fighting over this is mine and this is mine. And the parents will have to give so many things to everybody to make sure that they don't fight. And they'll still fight. I want yours instead of this one. Yes? So this is this fever. Children are raised with this conception of this is mine to enjoy. But in the Vedic culture, children are taught from the very beginning that real happiness is in giving. Real happiness is in giving to Krishna, in satisfying Krishna, in giving pleasure to Krishna, in yajna. Thus their hearts are pure. And we find here that it is these types of priests that were performing the yajna. Very young, with pure hearts. Now today in India, sometimes you go to places and the priests, you don't know what they're thinking. You don't know what they do. Sometimes they're so greedy for more and more and more donations. Yes? So how could they perform the yajna for the satisfaction of Krishna if on their mind is give me something more, give me no, this more and that more. No. They can't do yajna. That's not yajna. It's business. That is why at our temple, people come to our temple because when they're being married or whatever, because they know that the priests are not getting paid. They're surrendering. They're genuinely Brahmins in the sense that they're surrendering their lives for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're living by pure principles, and they're performing this as a service, not as a business. Krishna's not satisfied with business. He's satisfied with service. So that is critical for proper yajna. In this way, Lord Vishnu was worshipped, and the prasad was offered to the demigods. Thus the functions and festivals were all successful. And herein, Srila Prabhupada's purport puts great emphasis on for devotees to understand a proper relationship with the demigods. The tendency in this world is to go to various extremes. Either I worship the demigods as God, or I hate the demigods. Prabhupada says we must worship the demigods. He says we worship the demigods, but how do we worship the demigods? By understanding the relationship with Krishna. If we disrespect the demigods, we are performing Vaishnav aparad. And that will be a calamity to our spiritual lives. We cannot disrespect any demigod. Even if they do wild things, we read in the scriptures. Indra, my obeisances to him. He has done some wild things in the scriptures. I'm not going to get into any details. But yet in Brihad Bhagavatamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we find when he does yajnas, Vishnu comes personally, in present, in person, and accepts it and speaks to him. Now, does he do that with us? So he's an exalted personality. Now, he may do foolish things sometimes, and Krishna uses him to teach the world what not to do on occasions. But we can't disrespect him. Krishna's given him a high position. We should learn what Krishna's teaching us through his mistakes. But we must respect him. If Krishna loves somebody, even if they do something crazy, will we please Krishna if we are disrespectful? If Srila Prabhupada loves somebody, even if they've done difficult, wrong things. We could learn from their mistakes. We may have to keep certain distances at certain times so that we don't. But we must respect. If nothing else, respect Prabhupada and Krishna's love for that person. Because that's eternal. Everything else is temporary. Everything else is going to change. We consider the temporary and act accordingly. But in our heart of hearts, we must accept that eternal essence. So the demigods are in that position to perform their services to the Lord. And Prabhupada explains, we should never think that the demigods are equal to Vishnu. We should never worship the demigods for material things. How should we worship demigods? By understanding that they're empowered servants of Vishnu, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, Prabhupada explains, all the demigods are completely honored, worshipped, and respected when we chant, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhujami. Krishna is the original person, the cause of all causes, the source of all demigods, the source of all Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matta Sarvam Pravartate. The source of everything that exists in everyone. Kamais tais tair hitta jnana prapadyante nya devata tam tam niyama mashtaya prakritya niyatashvaya. Those who have materialistic, passionate intelligence, they worship the demigods for the benediction of attaining material things by performing the prescribed rules and regulations according to their nature. But Krishna explains, whatever you get from the demigods is ultimately coming from me. Krishna condemns worshipping demigods for materialistic, egoistic purposes in the Gita. The Vedas comprise mostly of the three modes of material nature. Trivedam Narakashyeta. What is it? Traigunya Vishaya Veda, Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna, Nirdvanvo Nitya Shatvashto Niyogakshima Atmavan. The Vedas mostly deal with the three modes of material nature. There is a lot of demigod worship for getting material benedictions that is prescribed in various Vedic literatures. But Krishna in Gita is teaching the essence. Give it all up. Be transcendental to all of this. Sarva dharman purityajya mam ekam sharanam vacha. Just surrender to me and you will fulfill the essential purpose of all knowledge, of all scriptures, of all dharma. And that is Krishna consciousness, the art of learning how to surrender to Krishna. So to respect and honor the demigods as the servants of the Lord, and knowing that if I water the root of the tree, if Krishna is satisfied, all the demigods are perfectly satisfied. Devarshi bhutaptane nam pritra nan nakinkura nayamana nicharavan sarvatmana yasharanam sharanyam gato mukundam bharatiti karatam. If you just surrender to Krishna, then all your duties, all your obligations to the demigods, to your forefathers, to the rishis and sages, to all political parties that have helped you, all your obligations to everyone in the present, in the past, and in the future are completely fulfilled. Why? Because you've watered the root of the tree. Whatever anyone has to give you is coming from Krishna. And devotees have this faith. That faith is very, very important. And actually, the demigods are most satisfied when you surrender to Krishna. Recently, we were telling a story of
Sri Govinda Kaviraj. I will repeat that to end the class. It's a very instructive story. A very, very beautiful, opulent, learned poet named Ramchandra was riding on a palanquin coming back from a wedding ceremony. And here in India, amongst the higher classes, you know how people try to impress each other when they go to wedding ceremonies. And so he was coming back on a royal palanquin, not royal, but a beautiful palanquin. And Srinivasacharya is looking at this person. His bodily features were like that of Kamadev, Cupid. Beautiful, well-oiled hair, and wonderful eyes and nose, and good bodily physical fitness, and he had wonderful silken robes and ornaments. And Srinivasacharya is a completely detached brahmachari at this time. Yes? And he's looking at this man and he's thinking, who is that? Who is that person? And some of his followers say, his name is Ramchandra. He's the greatest poet, greatest academic scholar. He's a Digvijay pundit. Very learned, very wealthy, very great Brahmin person. And Srinivas spoke to his followers in a loud voice. He has a rope wrapped around his neck as a noose and he's pulling it and he's thinking it's going to make him happy. So Ramchandra saw Srinivas, heard this, and became very much right on the palanquin. He looked at Srinivasacharya and heard what he said, and it just awakened his innate devotion. He started crying. I'm going to surrender to this person. And then he went home, and all night long he was in anxiety thinking about what he had heard. And he came back the next morning and surrendered to Srinivasacharya. And later on, Jiva Goswami, with the permission of all the great Goswamis of Vrindavan, gave him the name Ramchandra Kaviraj. He was already such a wonderful poet, such a wonderful scholar. He just took all that incredible wealth of knowledge and used it wholeheartedly in the service of his guru and Krishna. Now his younger brother, his name was Govinda. Govinda, when he was in the womb of his mother, he wouldn't come out. It wasn't his desire. He was just a baby. But somehow or other, by nature's cause and some karma, he just wasn't coming out. His mother's name was Sunanda, and she was in great anxiety. Sunanda's father was Damodar Kaviraj, who was a very faithful, devoted servant of Bhagavati Durga. And he married his daughter to Chiranjeeva Sen, who lived in Srikanda. Chiranjeeva Sen was a very, very great devotee. He was a personal, intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He lived amongst Narahari Sarakar, Raghunandan Thakur, Lochandas Thakur. Very great devotee. His name is written in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and is an associate of Lord Chaitanya. He's written within the branches of the tree of Lord Chaitanya. Great devotee. So what happened is this. The son of Chiranjeeva Sen and Sunanda was not coming out of his mother. So she was in great distress. So she sent a maidservant to see her father, Damodar Kaviraj. And when the maidservant came, he was right in the middle of performing puja to Bhagavati.
the demigoddess.
And the maidservant explained that your daughter, she's in too much pain and distress. The child is not coming out of her womb. So through his eye gestures and his hand gestures, he indicated that she should use Bhagavati's weapon. That he will show her this weapon. But he didn't say a single word. So the maidservant was confused. So finally what she did is she poured water and bathed Bhagavati's weapon, perhaps a sword, and then took that water and gave it to Sunanda to drink. And immediately, a completely painless birth took place. So everybody around considered that he was born by the mercy of Bhagavati. And his grandfather was very much grateful that this child is yours, dedicated to you. Now his father was a very, very great Vaishnava associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when Govinda was just a very, very small boy, his father passed away and went back home, back to Godhead. So therefore he was raised by his maternal grandfather, Damodar Kaviraj, who trained him in every possible way to be a Shakta, devotee of Durga. He was just conditioned in this way to learn pujas and to learn everything. He didn't have much of a formal material education. But just by his nature, Sri Govinda, he became such a learned scholar. And he would write poems and write songs. All the worshippers of Durga in that area, they loved him. He would write the most beautiful songs about Durga they ever heard. Such a poet. He was so learned. And everyone around, that you were born by the mercy of Bhagavati. Therefore your life, your soul, your everything must be exclusively for her purpose. And he accepted that. So when he saw his brother became a Vaishnav, he was thinking in his mind that my brother can do whatever he wants. He's taken initiation from Srinivasacharya. He's worshipping Radha Shamsundar. But myself, I know my destiny and I know my calling in life. I will attain salvation by the mercy of Bhagavati. And as he was thinking this in his mind, an oracle, a voice spoke to him. It was Bhagavati. She didn't say much. She said, Govinda, you will only attain salvation by worshiping Krishna. There is no other way. Worship Krishna. So he felt very unhappy. He felt unhappy that he wasted his whole life. Now she's telling me that everything I've done was a waste. But actually it wasn't a waste because he actually satisfied her. She was giving him the highest benediction. If you really please the demigods by worshiping them, if you want something cheap, they'll give you something cheap. Some material satisfaction or some elevation to heavenly planets, if that's what you want. But if you really want what they want, then they'll direct you to worship Krishna. Just like that Brahman. He was worshipping Lord Shiva. He wanted a touchstone. But he actually had very, very deep devotion to Shiva. He wanted a touchstone. He wanted wealth. But he really had genuine devotion to Shiva in a certain way. So Shiva really liked him. Most worshippers will just give what you want, if he does that. But to this person, he said, oh, you want touchstone? Go to Dwadasadityatil in Vrindavan, near Yamuna. There's a saint named Sanatan Goswami. He has touchstone. Get from him. Hare Krishna. Lord Shiva understood the greatest benediction that he could give to any of his devotees is to direct them to the association of a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. Because in that association, he'll get Krishna. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Shiva's the greatest Vaishnav. We see Ravana is asking Shiva for so many benedictions. Vrikasura is asking Shiva for so many demoniac benedictions. And he's giving. Scriptures are filled of demons worshipping Shiva and getting all kinds, Kumbhakarna, getting benedictions. But then we find the Prachetas. They were very pure and innocent in heart. So when they worshipped Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva gave them a song to sing, a mantra by which they will attract the mercy of Krishna. That is a supreme benediction a demigod could give. So this Brahman attained perfection because Shiva sent him to Sanatana Goswami, who taught him that the real touchstone is the holy name. Because the greatest wealth is prema bhakti, not the things of this world. It is all perishable and it will be simply disturbing to the heart. But Krishna prema will fulfill all your desires. Eternally. Like that. So Govinda Kaviraj, he was given the order by Bhagavati that you will only, if you want material things, I can give you, but if you want salvation, the only way is you must surrender and worship Krishna. So he was thinking, I must accept Srinivasacharya as my guru, just like my brother has done. And he left his home, Kumar Nagar, and went to Jajigram, where Srinivasacharya was residing. And he found that just before he came, Srinivasacharya had left for Vrindavan. So he went to his brother, Ramchandra Kaviraj. And Ramchandra Kaviraj preached to him so nicely. And he completely took shelter of his brother. He became a Vaishnav. In his heart of hearts, the only desire he had in his life was to surrender to Srinivasacharya and take initiation from Srinivasacharya and give his life, his soul, his everything for the service of Srinivasacharya. He was just waiting for him to return. He was thinking himself so unfortunate that he missed the chance, but so fortunate that his brother had given him his kindness. And for his rest of his life, Sri Govinda Kaviraj was very, very much dependent on the love of his brother. As a great Vaishnav. And when Ramchandra Kaviraj told him, you should go to Telia Budari. It's large population, many people, good people. You can be very happy there and give immense benefit to them by your Krishna consciousness. So he followed his brother and just left his home and went to his brother's where he told him to go. Telia Budari. And when Srinivasacharya, actually what happened is the devotees in Jajigram were so much in separation. Raghunandan Thakur asked Ramchandra Kaviraj, go to Vrindavan, Dham, and bring Srinivas back. The devotees need him desperately. And it was at that time that Sri Govinda Kaviraj accepted initiation. And all the skill and empowerment that he had to work to compose and sing the most extraordinarily beautiful songs to Durga Devi, he wrote in glorification of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. And Durga Devi was ultimately, supremely satisfied by that. So there are countless stories in the scriptures describing how the best way to please and give satisfaction to the devatas is Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. To understand that Krishna, he is the Lord of all the demigods. He is the root of the tree of all existence. Let me satisfy him through my body, my mind, my words, my life. That is yajna. So Rishabhdev, after completely satisfying Vishnu by performing the yajna exactly according to the Vedic injunctions, with the first class ingredients that were suitable to be offered to the Lord in the right place at the right time, with the right priests, with the right attitude, then Vishnu accepted the offerings, and then, as a servant of the demigods, how did he worship the demigods? By taking Vishnu's Mahaprasad and offering it to the demigods. Then they were happy. And he taught the world, and he taught through his prayers, the only benediction worth asking for is the benediction of unalloyed loving devotional service. Is there any questions?
If by a wrong understanding, if anyone previously offended demigods, which includes great devotees of Lord Lakshiva, what is the atonement they have to perform after understanding properly?
If you offend demigods, what atonement?
If anyone offended previously.
Huh? What did you do? You don't have to say. You should just understand that the demigods are dear to Krishna. They are servants of Krishna. And you should just pray for forgiveness and water the root of the tree by chanting with great sincerity the holy names. No need for any extraneous yajnas. Just chant Hare Krishna, the supreme yajna for this age, and have the proper attitude of respect. That is all. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
You said we must respect a person who is loved by Guru and Krishna. But sometimes one may have to keep a distance. Sometimes one may have to keep a distance also.
Many times.
Right. So the other person may come to know that that love which we shared earlier is not there, and you know, he's respecting me, but he might feel a little offended because the same dealing is not there because of keeping distance. So what are we, it's a little confusing situation.
As long as you know you're doing the right thing, you are rightly situated. If someone is blasphemous, if someone is dragging our consciousness down, if someone is offensive in this way, then it is an offense to God to associate intimately with such a person. Yes? Because it will degrade us. So therefore we must be strict. Asat sangatyaga abhaishnavacha. Lord Chaitanya said, if you want to become Krishna conscious, you must associate with devotees. And you must avoid association with materialistic people and even devotees who are too much attached to sense gratification and who are offensive. Yes, because even that will degrade us. So how to deal with such devotees? We should keep respectful distance. Yes. And they may not like, but you offer, you don't have to blaspheme, you don't have to criticize, you don't have to punish, you just respect what they've done, respect what's ultimately in their heart, respect the service that they've done, respect the love that they have received and the love that they have given, and in their temporary ill condition, we have to keep a little distance. That is respect. Yes? We cannot be overly sentimental. We have to do things in a proper way, with proper understandings of what is Vaishnava behavior. Thank you. Oh yes, Shivaram Prabhu.
Maharaj, some devotees, they believe in Vastu Shastra more than Krishna. They say that if the temple of Krishna or Vishnu is not constructed according to Vastu Shastra, then water tank is not in certain direction, and toilet and bathroom, this and that, then there will be problems in devotees' life, and then economic problems, this and that. So is it Vastu Shastra more powerful than Krishna in our practical life?
Maybe they'll go to Vastu Loka. If you want to go to Krishna Loka, Sarva Dharman Purityasya, we abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to Krishna. So certainly, Vastu Shastra and all of these things, their purpose is only to try to make a better offering to Krishna. That's all. To try to arrange things as auspiciously as possible to make a nice offering to Krishna. That's its purpose. If we become attached to to astrology or palmistry or Vastu Shastra or anything as things of themselves, thinking that they're going to purify us, then we're karmakandis. We're not bhaktas. It's all karmakanda. 90% of people who follow all these things, 99% are karmakandis at the best. Yes? Bahunam janmanamante jnanavamapapajyate vasudeva saravamiti samaha vasudulava. After so many births, you've come to the point of surrendering to Vasudeva. That's the goal of life. Traigunya vishaya veda nistraigunya bhavarjuta. The Vedas mostly deal with the three modes of material nature. That's what all this stuff is about. The three modes of material nature. Astrology, astronomy, Vastu. It's all about the three modes of material nature and how they're working. Yes? Krishna tells Arjuna, transcend them all and surrender to me. So in Vedic culture, Vaishnavas, because we want to offer the best, most auspicious thing to Krishna, we could use these things to try to make the offering to Krishna as auspicious as possible. But according to time, place, and circumstance. Ultimately, what matters is serving Krishna. And if we don't follow these things because it's just a better way of serving Krishna, or if that's what the senior... Serving Krishna is serving Guru, serving the senior Vaishnavas. If they say, don't do it this way, then that's service to Krishna. Right? We're not attached to those things. We'll use them if it's favorable for service to Krishna. We will use them. But if it becomes an impediment to the service of Krishna, sarva dharman parityaja. Does that answer your question? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.